Grace and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love hiking. I haven't gotten to too many chances to do it around here, but it's something I grew up with, not only in Boy Scouts, but also hiking and camping with my family at least once a year during the summer. I remember on our honeymoon, Amy and I went hiking a couple of times. After her ankle had healed some, seriously, she sprained four ankles between our wedding day and when we got back from the honeymoon. How you do that with only 2 feet, I'm not sure, but it was unreal. In any event, the thing you learn about hiking is that not all trails are created equal. You have the well-kept trails that have been paved smooth, almost like a road or a sidewalk. You couldn't lose a trail like that if you were blind. Then you have trails that are covered in gravel or wood chips. When we went to see the Great Sequoias in Yosemite, we followed a trail a lot like that. Some trails are dirt packed down hard by bicycles or four-wheelers or feet. You might get lost if the trail gets washed out by the rain. Of course, then there are some trails that are nothing but an old, barely maintained game trail. If you're following one of those, it can be easy to get lost, especially when trails all start to crisscross and merge together. At some Boy Scout camps, that is pretty much all you have in terms of trails. When there are a lot of different ways forward, it becomes very, very easy to get lost and lose your way. This is true in hiking. It's also true in life and in religion. There are many competing ways which we can follow trying to find our way forward. The way of alternative religions or alternative beliefs about religion is just one example. All religions do try to answer certain fundamental questions. Who are we? Where did we come from? Where are we going? And there are a lot of different ways that people try to answer these questions. There's the old saying, all dogs go to heaven. Which means that the idea of hell, of people who do not believe in God being condemned for their sins, that's highly unpopular, which leads to a belief that God will just save everyone. It doesn't matter what you do in this life, everyone's going to go to heaven in the end because God couldn't send anyone to hell because that would just be mean. It feels comfortable to be able to say that no one is really going to hell except for the really bad people like Hitler and people who cheat on their taxes. Ha ha ha. Perhaps there's also the saying that it doesn't matter what you believe, just that you believe. I've heard that so many times, especially in popular culture. Instead of focusing on the belief itself or what the belief is in, this focuses on the rote act of believing. There's a difference between someone without faith and all people of faith in this way of thinking, or in this way. Perhaps rather than the way of alternative religions, it is the way of the self. Perhaps hedonism, a desire for pleasure above all else. And this honestly feels like the primary guiding principle for our society today. If it makes you happy or if it brings you pleasure, then you can do it. If it doesn't, then don't do it. This way teaches that anything is acceptable as long as it brings you enjoyment. Perhaps it's the belief that you can earn your way into heaven. C.F.W. Walther defines all religions as falling into two categories. You have religions of the law, which are exemplified by this belief that you must earn your way into heaven. God has laid out what you must do. If you do it, then you're golden. If you don't do it, then you're going to hell. And the other is the religion of the gospel, which says that God did it all. All other religions ultimately state that there is something you must do in order to earn salvation. Perhaps instead of this, it is the way of reincarnation, the belief, a belief which is most commonly associated with Hinduism, but has also found its way into New Age and other newer religious sects. It's a belief that it doesn't matter if you mess things up in this life, you'll just get another chance in the next go-around. Perhaps it is the way of nihilism, the belief that this world is the end-all, be-all, nothing matters, and ultimately, if this is what you believe, it's the most damaging of all. Why should anything in this life matter if there's nothing beyond this life? Now, there are all of these competing ways out there, all claiming to be the true way. Yet none of these lead to God. Because the way to God is not something we find for ourselves. We cannot find our way to God on our own. The search for God leads only to alternative do this religions, to turning inward, to rejection of life. The way that we find is not the way to God. The way to God is not something that's intuitive. It's not something that we can figure out on our own or figure out for ourselves. Natural revelation, the conscience working in our hearts, looking at the world around us to see that there is a creator or a power greater than us, these things can only get us so far. The way to God is something that is outside of us, something that God does for us. Trying to find the way to God on our own is like fumbling around to find a light switch in a dark room you've never seen before when the circuit breaker is off. We can't find the way on our own. Even if we could somehow stumble across it, it wouldn't do us any good without God's work coming from outside to work on us. Yet in the upper room, on his last night, the night that he is betrayed, in our gospel reading from John chapter 14, Jesus tells the disciples that they already know the way to the Father. Now, we're probably in agreement with Thomas here in not understanding what on earth Jesus means. And so when Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus responds, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The only way to reach God is through Jesus." In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." If you know Jesus, you know the Father, as he says to Philip in two verses later. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul describes that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. If you see Jesus, you see the Father. God the Father is spirit, and so we only see him through the Son, in whom he became human. Jesus, the Son of God, who became a son of Mary, became like us in order to point us to God. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, who did for us what we could not do, so that we would be pure and spotless like he is. He is our way to God. The one who died on the cross and rose again to new life paves the way for us through this life to our Heavenly Father. And this is what we read in Scripture, the way to God. God's word is the light that shows him to us. It tells us exactly why we cannot rely on our own understanding, why we cannot find that way to God on our own. Everything that we would try leads us astray. And yet at the same time, the Holy Spirit works in us through God's word, creating faith in us and placing our feet on the way, taking our hand, leading us to God. So the only way for us to find the way forward is by following one who has blazed that path for you. In hiking, this means looking for trail markers and reading maps. The trail markers would be symbols placed on trees or posts next to the trail at intervals. Perhaps your trail is marked by three orange squares on a diagonal, so you need to look for that particular marker to see which way to go. Ignore all the other competing ways, just focus on the one trail marker until you find it. And the same is true in life and in our faith. We cannot find the way forward on our own. If we try, we'll simply wander off the path and get lost, wandering in circles with no hope of finding our way back. We need to follow the one who has walked this path before us, the one who knows where we are coming from, who knows where we are going, who lays out the way for us to follow and attests that way with his own words. The map we follow is not a trail map, and the markers we follow are not a couple of squares. We have the map of God's word, and we follow the cross and the empty tomb. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord, as we follow the way that he has blazed for us. Amen.